Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What if the authority of the Christian Church was never lost? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. This is something that's always intrigued me because we know, Eric, that the whole reason, and this is what Mormon leaders have said, the whole reason that the Mormon Church exists is because there was this complete apostasy of the Christian faith. And there are Mormon leaders that have certainly made that point clear. For instance, we have a statement here from James Talmadge in his book, The Great Apostasy. This is found in the preface on page 3 in the preface, III in Roman numerals.
It says, the Restored Church affirms that a general apostasy developed during and after the apostolic period, and that the primitive church lost its power, authority, and graces as a divine institution and degenerated into an earthly organization only. The significance and importance of the Great Apostasy as a condition precedent to the reestablishment of the church in modern times is obvious. If the alleged apostasy of the primitive church was not a reality, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is not the divine institution its name proclaims.
And that certainly isn't a private opinion that was held by Mormon Apostle James Talmadge. Certainly we find that same idea being echoed by B.H. Roberts, who was a 70 and a historian in the Mormon Church. In the history of the church, and again, this is in the preface portion of Volume 1, it's Roman numeral XL, if you want to find it that way, he said, nothing less than a complete apostasy from the Christian religion would warrant the establishment of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In other words, folks, if there was no complete apostasy, there is really no reason for the Mormon Church to exist. Now, several weeks ago, we did a series on whether or not the Apostle John is still alive, and we also talked about the fact that a third Nephi in the Book of Mormon mentions that there are three Nephites that were going to be allowed by Jesus to not die and to carry on the ministry, if you will, if in fact Mormons believe these two stories, these two accounts to be true, the one in D&C 7 and the other in 3 Nephi chapter 28, then how can they explain this alleged complete apostasy? And this is where we're going with this, folks. I want to read you something from Brigham Young. This was a speech that he gave, a talk, on May 7th, 1861. And he was trying to point out how powerful the priesthood really is within the context of Mormonism. And as we know, they do believe in this priesthood. It has two portions, the Melchizedek being the greater priesthood and the lesser priesthood being the Aaronic priesthood. But priesthood authority is something that is very special within the context of Mormonism. And what Brigham Young was trying to do in this talk was he was trying to demonstrate to his listeners just how powerful and important this priesthood authority is. This is what he said in this particular talk. He said, suppose that 11 of the 12 had been taken away by the power of the adversary, that one apostle has the same power that Joseph had, and could preach, baptize, and set in order the whole kingdom of God upon the earth, as much so as the 12 were they all together. Are you catching what he said here? Suppose that the 11 of the 12 had been taken away by the power of the adversary, that one apostle has the same power that Joseph had. Brigham Young goes on to say, again, if in the providence of God he should permit the enemy to destroy these two first quorums and then destroy the quorum of the 70, all but one man, what is his power? It would be to go and preach, baptize, confirm, lay on hands, ordain, set in order, build up, and establish the whole kingdom of God as it is now. Are you catching what he's saying here, folks? This is how powerful priesthood authority is within the context of Mormonism. Let me go on. Brigham Young continues to make his case, and it might sound a little redundant, but I think the reason he's repeating some phrases here is so that you get the picture of how powerful this authority really is in Mormonism. He goes on to say, suppose the enemy had power to destroy all but one of the high priests from the face of the earth. What would that one possess in the power of his priesthood? He would have power and authority to go and preach, baptize, confirm, ordain, and set in order the kingdom of God in all its perfection on the earth. Now, he does say, could he do it without revelation? No. Could the 70s? No. Could the 12? No. But the point he's trying to make is that if he has the power and authority that the priesthood of Mormonism gives the individual, that even if all others were taken out of the way and he was the only one left on the earth, he would have the authority and power to reestablish this church just the same way that Joseph Smith reestablished what he believed to be the early Christian church in the 19th century.
Now, Bill, in LDS scripture, we have the account of the three Nephites, as well as the Apostle John.
Right.
And they had the priesthood.
Yes, they did. We know for a fact that, well, the Bible, of course, shows that the Apostle John was certainly given authority by Jesus himself. And then also, as I mentioned earlier, in 3 Nephi 28, Jesus also gives this authority as the resurrected Christ who comes over to the Western Hemisphere, according to the Book of Mormon. And he again ordains another 12, gives them authority. But of the 12 in the Western Hemisphere, these Nephites, there were three that, like John, wanted to remain alive and preach the gospel. And so Jesus grants them that desire by allowing them to live and not go through the pain of death, as the same he gave to the Apostle John, that he would not die, that he would go on and he would be able to preach the gospel and bring people unto himself. The question that we're asking in this show, though, is if these four men had the power to do this, you cannot say that there was a complete apostasy of the Christian faith if, in fact, they represented what the Christians were believing correctly, assuming correctly, in the first century.
Well, okay, but how do those two groups of people get together? John's on a different continent, and you have three Nephites. Don't they have to somehow come together?
That's the point that I'm trying to make here. No, they don't. Even if John was all alone on the Eastern Hemisphere, he has the ability, according to what Brigham Young said, to reestablish the church, and he has the authority to ordain people to be, let's say, a portion of the Quorum of the 12 or the 70s, whatever offices that are necessary to run the church. That one man has the authority to do that. And the reason why Brigham Young makes this conclusion is because he says it's the same kind of authority that Joseph Smith had, and that's exactly what Joseph Smith did when he starts the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is originally known as the Church of Christ, in 1830.
Yet there was a great apostasy according to Mormonism. Should we lay the blame at the doorstep of John and the three Nephites?
Well, I think that's a fair question, because if, in fact, the Apostle John and these three Nephites have the ability, as Brigham Young has stated in this talk that he gave on May 7, 1861, why didn't John do just that? Why didn't John reestablish the church, if it in fact was in a state of apostasy, and start ordaining others to fill these offices that are necessary to run the church as Mormons think it needs to be run? We find no evidence of this. We find really no evidence of John's existence. We find no evidence of even John's labors. Because who do we find that is alive today? And there certainly should be someone, you would think, that could trace their priesthood authority back to the Apostle John. Why couldn't they do that? Isn't that what Joseph did? Joseph Smith did that. He said he was given that authority from Peter, James, and John when they appeared to him. But yet we have no record of anybody that says that within their church structure, they can go back to this Apostle John who was allowed to remain alive. Why didn't John do this? Why didn't John reestablish the church? If he had the ability to do so, why didn't he do it? It seems like he was neglecting his priesthood duty by neglecting the authority he had to reestablish a church that fell into a state of apostasy. Why would it have to wait clear till the time of Joseph Smith for that to happen? You would think it would have been done many years earlier by John himself, but we have no record of this. The same is true with the three Nephites. Okay, they realize there's this ultimate battle at the hill Cumorah. All the Nephites are wiped out, including Moroni. They realize, hey guys, we're the only three left. You know what we need to do? Well, what's that? We need to reestablish the church. We've got the authority. Let's do it.
I mean, they had three. Joseph Smith was just one. And Joseph Smith reestablished the church by himself. Obviously, he had apostles and all the rest, but it was Joseph Smith who God appeared to and Jesus appeared to in the first vision.
And that is exactly what Brigham Young was talking about. If Joseph Smith, being the only one with priesthood authority, could reestablish the Christian church, as of course Mormons think it should be, then my question is, why couldn't the Apostle John do that? Why couldn't the three Nephites do that? But we find no record of them doing this, while at the same time, we have no Mormon leader saying that they certainly were not allowed to live and bring souls unto Christ.
It sounds to me, Bill, that perhaps the great apostasy is a backfire on the Mormon church. They can't win on this.
If nothing else, it certainly is a doctrine that comes in the package of a lot of inconsistency.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in downtown Salt Lake City to browse the largest inventory of Christian books on the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from the Smith Ballpark. Whether you're looking for a basic introduction or a more scholarly work, Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding the appropriate resources so you can better understand the LDS religion. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore also carries dozens of books that Sandra and her husband Gerald have written over the past 5 decades. This includes their comprehensive work, Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. So, once again, if you have questions about the LDS faith, there is always somebody behind the desk who would be more than happy to assist you. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Saturdays from 1 to 5. Remember, when in Salt Lake City, be sure to come check out the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located right there at 1358 South and West Temple.